This is a Radio Frimley Park podcast.
Welcome to Inside the Hospital, the series that focuses on the people behind the many non-clinical roles in hospitals. It's the third and final look in this series at the world of hospital volunteers. In this episode, we'll go behind the scenes at A&E and find out how medication for patients who are being discharged gets dispensed and delivered. There are so many opportunities for volunteering in hospitals, many of which we've covered in previous episodes. But today we're going to talk to two people who have had a more direct association with departments you might find in any hospital. We start by talking to Terry, who's a volunteer in A&E, as he explains how he ended up volunteering in his current role.
Hello, my name's Terry Perra. My role is a volunteer at Frimley Park Hospital, and I work as a volunteer in A&E. I retired in 2017, and after I'd painted the house and done the garden, I decided it was time to do some volunteering. I've never had a 9-to-5 Monday to Friday routine job, so I decided that A&E was the best place to volunteer, because every day you go into A&E, it's completely different. You never know what you're going to get. You never know the type of patients you've got in. You never know whether it's busy, quiet, or whatever. So A&E suits my non-routine liking personality.
Can you explain to us then what volunteer role have you taken up?
Basically, we're up for anything non-medical. So we make beds. We take the tea and coffee trolley round. We'll talk to patients and relatives, answer any of their questions, try to reassure them if they're worried. Everything we can do to allow the medical staff to focus on, you know, medical things that they do. So most of us, I'm sure all of the volunteers in A&E, we're up for anything that's non-medical that we can do to help.
So obviously you've decided to retire, and that's what prompted you to become a volunteer.
Yeah.
What drew you to the specific role?
I'm a retired radio engineer. Much of my career was involved with the Blue Light Services, police, fire and ambulance, installing radio systems for them. So it was a natural fit to work in the NHS. By the way, I also work as a volunteer for Hampshire Police in Aldershot. The NHS has always been there for me. It's always been there when I needed it. It's always been very efficient. So it just seemed a good fit to try and put something back into the system without the tie of a full-time employment.
So how much do you do as a volunteer, time-wise? What time do you allocate?
Time-wise, the hospital asks that we do at least one shift a week, which one shift is 3 hours. We do have slots in the rota, which are some from time to time not filled, particularly at holiday time. So most of us probably do one or two shifts a week to make sure the roster is full up and there's no vacant slots in it. We cover the hospital from about 9 o'clock in the morning, certainly till 9, 10, 11 at night, weekdays. A little bit more difficult at weekends. And the master plan in the long term, if we can get enough volunteers, is that we 24/7, 365 days of the year, have volunteer assistance in A&E.
Can you describe a typical shift to the listeners?
A typical shift would be we sign the book by reception to let the office know that we've attended that day. I'll go into A&E, I'll prepare the tea and coffee trolley and take it round to each of the departments in A&E to see if any patients or their relatives need tea, coffee. We do have sandwiches in the fridge, limited supply, and basically see if any of the patients and relatives need assistance that we can offer.
Can you describe A&E for the benefit of those who've not experienced this particular one? You mentioned there's different departments. Does that mean it's laid out in a certain way?
Yes. I mean, A&E consists of many things. There's resus, which is where the major trauma patients will be. Then you've got majors, which is, shall we say, the next level down from somebody who may need resuscitation. You've got minors, which is for cuts and scrapes and slips, trips and falls. There's a very large waiting area, which pretty much has always got people in it. You've got children's A&E, which again has a waiting area and a number of beds in it. And then there's an observation unit, which is for people who maybe don't need a critical bed, but they need some observation before they go home. So there's many, many facets to A&E. And we also will sort the staff out with tea and coffee if we can, because they never have enough time to make tea or coffee.
Sounds like it's a real benefit having you as an extra pair of hands.
Yes, it's interesting. You would think that the volunteers might be elderly people who are retired, but there's people from all walks of life, young, old, different career choices that they've made. Volunteering is a good choice for young people because it looks good on your CV. So volunteering is just good across the board. I think my most memorable moment was there is an autistic teenager who we do see quite a bit from time to time. And he is a non-speaking autistic teenager and he prefers to sit on the floor. And he likes to use his hands or keep his hands busy. And we discovered that he likes to handle sugar sachets. So I managed to get some from the kitchen and I sat down on the floor with him and gave him the sugar sachets and it managed to calm him down. And I always remember that because I went home that day thinking I'd done something useful.
Terry, like many other volunteers I've spoken to, was volunteering during the COVID pandemic. He explains what it was like for him and others working in the A&E department at that time.
COVID was difficult in A&E for obvious reasons. And for much of the COVID period, volunteers weren't allowed to work in A&E. But those of us that carried on working, we did lots of other stuff around the hospital. I mean, I can remember making up PPE kits. Local businesses donated to the hospital huge amounts of food, creams, body lotions and everything for the staff. And many of the volunteers, not just me, many of the volunteers still came in during COVID and made up the PPE kits and distributed all the local business donations around the hospital. So COVID, I think it's something that we'll just never forget. My overriding memory of COVID is that even when A&E was really, really stretched, staff still had a smile on their face and everybody carried on. And I think it was very typical of the British way of life that, you know, keep calm and carry on.
To get a better understanding of the scale of an A&E department and what Terry gets up to, he takes me on a tour of some of the areas he works in.
This is children's A&E here, which is, I always think, quite good. And I love the ceiling. These were all painted by various children over the years. That's good. I could just imagine lying in bed and looking at all these fancy ceiling tiles. And all the bays are named after different people, so you've got different animals. You've got seahorse, turtle, starfish, dolphin. And then just down here, you've got a special bay for teenagers because some of the patients can be too young to be children but not old enough to be adults. So there's a nice teenage cubicle where they can have peace and quiet. One of the things that happened after COVID was that we started to get a lot of trolleys in the corridor. Now there's only about four, five, six trolleys in the corridor today, which is not very many. On really, really busy days, I've seen 30 trolleys in the corridor. COVID actually forced a lot of changes on the NHS. So, for instance, a lot of the beds in A&E were actually beds. So you had a number of sheets, a number of blankets and pillows, all of which had to be made up. With COVID, everything is now trolleys, So it's much easier to make up a trolley. So during COVID, on one day I made up 30 trolleys, as the throughput of patients was so fast. To make up a bed might take 10, 15 minutes. You can make up a trolley in five.
Wow, so as you say, it's a real sort of learning curve.
Yes.
Done really quickly in an extreme situation.
COVID was extremely bad, obviously, across the board. But there were some good things that came out of COVID. So on the main reception area, at busy times, there's a nurse on the door triaging people before they even come in. So if it's decided that they're not suitable for A&E, they're directed maybe to the GP or the emergency units in Aldershot, the new urgent care unit, and that releases the pressure on A&E. As you can see here, you've got what's called ambulance pit stop. So this is where the ambulance crews bring in the patients. They are discharged from the ambulance into the hospital here, and then they've been admitted into hospital, but unfortunately there's no bay for them, so they're looked after in the corridor. So although you're in the corridor, you're being looked after as if you were in a bay, which is much better.
And the purpose of the corridor is, as you say, is to sort of temporarily bring in patients and manage their reallocation to a bed.
Yes. If any of these patients deteriorated, they'd be straight into resus or majors very quickly. So we have three corridors of bays here. This is majors, so there's this corridor, that corridor, another smaller corridor here. This is for people who are quite critical, but not to the point where they need to be in resus, but too serious to be in minors, if that makes sense.
Yep, somewhere in between.
Yes. Now we're in resus. We have eight bays, and this is immediately below the helicopter pad, which is up on the roof. Not used so often these days, but even now, if there's a major trauma comes in by helicopter, the helicopter will land on the roof, then the patient comes down in the lift to resus and straight into one of the eight resus bays. There's a low-level rumble of noise, but there's no panic. Professional people working.
It's not like you see on TV.
No, it's not like Holby. It's not like 24 hours in A&E. And the other thing that I learnt during COVID was that even during COVID, all the staff here still had a smile on their face, it was just fantastic during COVID that the whole place just carried on working as if it was just another day.
Terry and his fellow volunteers do a fantastic job helping to relieve some of the pressures on the clinical staff by helping out with tasks to benefit both staff and patients. It's great to experience their dedication to serving their community. You might remember Bob from our previous episode, where he spoke about working to collect patient surveys. He also volunteers as an assistant in the hospital pharmacy. I've come to meet him at work inside the pharmacy at Frimley Park, which is a busy hubbub of activity. There are over a dozen people working in the room, full of medication, computers, trolleys, and many bags waiting for delivery. Bob talks me through what he does each week to prep the trolleys to deliver patient medication for those being discharged from hospital.
Right, when we come into the pharmacy, all of these little cubby holes that you see are filled in with these blue bags. What we have to do is to take the blue bag out from the cubby hole. It's got in there, it's got obviously PTOs, as we call them, to take out. That's the medication for the patients to take out of the hospital when they're discharged. We then have to zip that up. Then we have to take a seal, which is one of these little fellas, and then we just tuck it in there. That's now sealed until it gets to the ward. We then have to enter it onto this form, so basically, I haven't done anything yet, but we have to put our name here so that we're the person that's delivering it to the ward, and then we fill in the date, the bag number, because each of these bags has a number, and that number is then extended across the ward that it's got to go to. That's repeated here, so you've got the ward that it's going to go to there. You tick whether it's the room or the fridge. Now, if you look at the fridge here, a lot of the merchandise or the jugs that are going to the wards are in these. Now, of course, these are all cold and they're set to go to the various wards while we're taking the room bags as well. So we just have to make sure on here that if any of the wards we're going to with those, we check to make sure that there's some of these, or to check whether there's some of those that are going to the same wards. Then, of course, when they're filled in, coming across here, the person in the ward has to put their name, print their name and sign, so that there is a record of every piece of medication or drugs that are going out of the pharmacy is recorded from where it leaves the pharmacy to its destination.
In charge of the pharmacy tonight is Charlotte Edwards, who's coordinating the pharmacists and volunteers during their shifts.
My name's Charlotte. I am the dispensary training lead at Frimley Park Hospital Pharmacy.
We've just been speaking to Bob about what he does as a volunteer here. You work day in, day out inside this pharmacy. What does it mean having a volunteer help out with the jobs that you're doing here?
So we have quite a large team of volunteers helping us in the pharmacy. And honestly, I don't think medication would get to patients half the time if we didn't have the volunteers. They do all sorts of roles, like delivering the medication to the wards so that can happen quicker, get to the patients quicker. They go around, they collect stuff from wards so it can get to us and we can process it quicker. When it's needed, they'll help out on reception, taking questions from patients, from staff, handing medication out to staff as well. They've become like a really invaluable part of the team. It is really nice seeing them every single day and knowing that we've got the help of these people who come in of their own free will. Then they want to be here and they want to help out, and it's really nice seeing that and getting the support from them.
To give our listeners an idea,
yeah,
how many of their are you in this space, and typically how many different medications and doses are you handing out a day?
That's a very difficult question to answer. So in the main dispensary, I think we have about 90 staff in total. So that's assistants, that's dispensary assistants, pharmacy technicians, trainee technicians, and pharmacists. And there's, in total, there's about 90. We've also got our stores department, our ward services department, and they deliver stock medications directly to the ward so they can use them on patients. And they've got, I think, about 15 members of staff. At the moment, it's very busy in here because the ward services are having their ceiling redone because it had the rack concrete. So they've had to move in with us. So we've got an additional sort of 15 people and all of their stock in the dispensary at the same time. It's very tight at the moment. Hundreds of thousands of medications a week we would dispense. We can't put a figure on it really. Today has been especially busy. We've had, in our sort of work queues, we've constantly had sort of about 40, 50 different discharge letters constantly throughout the day. That's not gone down. Even we're working and working and working and the queue just doesn't move. So it's always really busy and we can't really put a figure on how much we dispense and how much we supply to the wards. I'd say there's probably about 15 or 20 minutes a week where we go, there's not much to do. But even when there's not much to do, there's always something to do. We always find something to do, whether it's maintaining stock or supporting other team members with their workload, working on what we call competency, so just making sure that everyone's been trained properly and making sure that everyone knows what they're doing, which is something that I sort of take control of. So making sure that everybody's up to date with all their training and that they know what they're doing. So there's always something to do in pharmacy, and we've got a really amazing team here, and it's really lovely to work here, and the volunteers really add something to that as well in supporting us.
In It was a busy night for all the staff and volunteers at the pharmacy, all working together to make sure patients get home as fast as possible. Did you hear the other hard worker in the background? The pharmacy robot. This robot is taking orders from the pharmacists who dispense medication each at their own desk. Once an order is sent, the robot locates it and grabs the medication, dropping it on a network of conveyor belts, delivering it to each pharmacist's desk, ready for packing for a patient. Our last interviewee works not as a volunteer, but on the hospital switchboard, handling the calls that the newer automated systems can't. I've come to meet Leslie Brown at the switchboard office located behind the main reception of the hospital to find out more. It's a Saturday morning, so it's a bit quieter than the weekdays, but there's still a certain amount of hustle and bustle as people arrive and go about their business. Leslie has been working for the Trust for so long, I ask her what brought her to the role in the first place and why she stayed so long.
Hello there, my name's Leslie and I work here on the switchboard at Brimley Park Hospital. I've worked here for 34 years, on and off, but sometimes I've just done bank and other times I've been permanent. I've retired now but come back on the bank. So I didn't want to give up completely, but I was finding it more difficult to do the hours. So I've got the best of both worlds. I'm retired and I can work if I want to.
So how did you end up working here for 34 years? What drew you to it in the first place and why have you stayed?
It was never intended. My husband was ill and I started working here and that's it. You either love the job or hate the job. So you either stay forever or you leave. But it's pretty flexible. It's always fitted around family life, things like that.
I ask Leslie to explain a bit more about the role and how it's changed in the time she's been working for the Trust.
We just answer calls that are ringing in from the outside and going through to extensions, wards and things, or we answer internal calls that want something else in the hospital. When I first started, they'd come straight through to us. We'd be the first port of call and then we'd put them through. It's all done by memory. You had a little book that you put all your extensions in that you knew, and you couldn't even dial the whole of the country. Sometimes you had to go through to a different operator and they'd put you through to somewhere if you were dialing a number. It's all very changed out of all recognition. Personally, it was better in the old days. It was more talking to people. Now it's just quickly put the call through. It's not as busy as it was because of the automated bit. People can just ask for their extensions now, or departments. But lots of people do come through to us. We deal with the people that, like older people that don't understand it, can't get through. And sometimes the recognition system doesn't understand accents. So they come through to us. Or if they can't find the department that they want, they come through to us. We tend to deal with the problems now rather than the main just going through to extensions. People think it's quite straightforward, quite boring, but it isn't. It is quite, can be quite interesting. You never know what you're going to pick up, what call are you going to pick up, or you get people knocking at the door, people coming to the main reception with all weird and wonderful things. I do like helping people. Some can be really rude, really horrible. But the majority of the people that ring into the hospital are really nice. You will get a day when all you pick up are people that are moaning and complaining, and that's not quite so good.
It's not just Leslie working on the switchboard. There are multiple members of the team working across different sites, as she explains.
We're split between two sites, Brimley and Wexham. Here we've only got two positions. I think they've got six positions at Wexham. Normally, it might be just one person on or two people on here. I'm not quite sure about how many they have at Wexham. All the calls come through to either. So we can either pick up a Wexham call or a Brimley call, and the same as them. Wexham do the emergencies. We don't do the emergencies anymore. We're just like an overflow. They do deal with all the alarms. We just basically here at Brimley just do calls. anybody can ring down to us and ask us. I mean, sometimes they just ask for information, how to get to a ward. People ring in asking us what time's pharmacy open, what time's x-rays open, all those basic things, visiting times, anything they want to know. Sometimes they'll ring in to ask the time. We've had that before.
Is that from a patient?
Yeah, from outside calls. They ring in and say, oh, can you tell me the time or what day it is? Yeah, they could. Unbelievable what we get asked, really.
With all the different questions and information that they need to provide to patients and staff, I asked Leslie if there's a book of knowledge or a place to find all the answers.
No, you just pick it up over time. Some things are on the computer, but not everything. Lots of things you just learn over time. And there's always people here that you can ask, you know, like on main reception. We all work together, we're a team, and we just pick each other's brains. If I don't know something, somebody else will know it. We all used to work together on switchboard, but then it was split, and the girls now do switchboard and main reception. But as I'm quite deaf, I just do switchboard. I can't work face-to-face with somebody because I can't hear them. We all work different shifts. We've got rotas. Some just work mornings, some just work afternoons. And then we do have one lady that works overnight, but that's it. But we do generally work it out that we can get the shifts covered, swap round. Or we've got people on bank, they come in and cover shifts. It's not 24/7 because we've only got one night person.
Okay.
So she works, say, 4 or 5 nights a week. And then they've got night people on at Wexham. So that is 24/7. But here we only have one night person.
From the caller's perspective, they don't know who they're talking to.
No. They could pick up a Wexham operator or a Frimley operator.
I asked Leslie one final question to find out what about the role sticks in her mind.
Yeah, I mean, most people love it. We have lots of things going on. We've had a baby born just outside our door. There's people or babies born in the car park or just outside main reception. We've had royal family. When Sophie had a baby, there was all that. We've seen them drive off outside the main reception. Lots of things, too many to remember, and then you can't remember them. But lots of things have happened over the years.
It was great to talk with Leslie about how the role has changed and some of the calls she's received over her time working for the Trust. It's a role that, with all the technological advances and automation, it's good to hear that there's still a human being there who's ready to help. That's it for this episode. Next time I'll be speaking to some of the people behind Frimley Health Charity to find out what they do and why hospitals even need a charity.